happen. I don't know if you're aware that year by year there appear to be attempts made by those people out there who want us to buy things, to see something new and quirky. Last year it was black Christmas trees. Did you see that? This is what it is this year. Upside down Christmas trees. That is actually the right way up. It's standing on the floor. There's a chair also standing on the floor. And this is a new gimmick, you know. If you want more space in your home, you haven't got much space, then you can have these upside down Christmas trees. You can even have them fitted so they go into a corner. So they've got a right angle behind them so you can tuck them away. But young people are very quick to recognize it actually gives more space to put presents. I think it's quite a good idea having this conventional Christmas tree, because it does put a limit on it. It can sort of spread out into the room, but then you end up treading on them. So, but this is the gimmick. Now, you can get all sorts of things like this. I'm not selling them, by the way, but you can get all sorts. And you can get fibre optic ones, you can get black ones, you can get yellow ones, you can get gold ones. And it looks quite an interesting feature, but it wouldn't. It's more like a bunch of flowers than a Christmas tree to me, anyhow. Perhaps I'm a Philistine, but that's the way it looks, anyhow. So this is the thing this year. And it does raise the whole question of presents. I've already had a chat with Ella and Leah about when they open their presents, and they are very disciplined. They can only open the presents after they've done the vegetables. Now, they've opened their stockings already, but they've got to wait until they've done the vegetables. That's a very shrew move, Emma. That's excellent. When you folk, who's opened any presents already? Anybody open some presents? You opened some? Well, all of them? Have you opened all your presents? Those in the stocking? Did you have a stocking? Okay. Have you got some more waiting for you when you get back home? Okay. So you've opened some, but not all. Has anybody opened others of their presents? What about the grown-ups? Come on, admit it. Have you opened any presents? No. Yeah, Anne-Marie has. You've opened some, have you? All of them or just a few? Just a few. Okay. Now, people have different traditions of doing this. Some will open their presents before church. Perhaps it's a thing to open the stockings. We don't have stockings anymore. Anyhow, we tend to open ours after church. Get back in, have a cup of coffee, and then that's when we open ours. Some will wait until lunch, which can be a movable feast in some households, and be really quite late in the day, and that shows quite good self-control to wait for that. But then perhaps you may have visitors coming on Boxing Day, and they may bring presents with them, and you will give presents to them, and so there's more of that as well. But does anybody never open their presents? I didn't think so. Nobody keeps their presents unopened. We all open them. Okay. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Come back to that. Perhaps we should just think about presents, because they're a big part of Christmas, aren't they? Perhaps too big a part of Christmas. But we need just to remind ourselves, do you know why we give presents at Christmas? Do you know why we give presents at Christmas? Any idea at all? It's a nice idea, and it's nice to get them. It's nice to give them as well, isn't it? Why do we give presents?
Wait for it.
Okay, we give presents because it says there, and I put it there, that God gave his son as a free gift. And so it's our way of responding to that. But sadly, we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of it completely. Every so often, people will go into schools and ask children certain questions. And a group of children were asked this question, what is Christmas all about? And this was the answer that came up. Christmas is all about presents. Now, that is rather sad, because it isn't presentmas, it isn't prezi time, it's Christmas. And the beginning of that word is Christ. So that's really sad that this child, and I think many others as well, think that Christmas is all about presents. And we think, well, perhaps that's just something which is the world in which we live. But it's sadly nothing new, because even when Jesus was born, only a few people understood what had happened. And John, in his gospel that we had read earlier, tells us that, and it's really quite quite amazing in verses 10, 11, and 12. And I want us to be looking at these verses this morning. It tells us that Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It tells us before that, that even though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So we're told that the world that Jesus had made didn't recognize him, and the people to whom he came didn't receive him. And that's why I ask the question, does anybody never open their presence? Now we'll be thinking about that in a moment. Jesus was unrecognized and unreceived. So we're going to be thinking about what it means to recognize and receive Jesus, particularly on this Christmas day. Now, a photograph's going to come up. I wonder if you can recognize this person. Do you recognize that person? The Queen, right. Now, I could say, well, are you sure? Because it could be my auntie, Evelyn. She's a lady who looked like a little bit like that some time ago. So how do you know it's not my Auntie Evelyn? You've never seen my Auntie Evelyn, have you? No. But you've seen the Queen. So how do you know that's the Queen? You're absolutely right. It is the Queen. But how do we know? How do we know that's the Queen? We all think it's the Queen, don't we? You don't think it's my Auntie Evelyn? No? Okay. So why are we so sure that that's the Queen? How do we know? Yes? Pardon? She's got a crown on. My Auntie Evelyn could wear a crown. She could be sort of, you know, somebody who likes to play around with things. She has got a crown on, and queens do wear crowns, and our queen does wear a crown, so that's right. But how do we know that is the queen with a crown on? I'm a bit worried. I'm not sure that you're totally convinced, so you've got good reasons for believing this really is the queen. How do we know that she's the queen? Okay, how do you recognize her? Have you met her? Yes. Good. That's excellent. Okay. You have met her. Good. Anybody else here met her? Okay. I've met our mum. Will that do? No. Okay. Now, if we've met her, then that is very important, is it? But most of us don't get to meet the Queen, do we? But we do get to see her on the television. We get to see her in magazines. We have photographs of her where she's been to a big dinner, or a banquet, as they call it, or she's visited a country, and she's been shown around all the interesting things in the country, and people come to the little house that she lives in London called Buckingham Palace, and she invites them in for tea and things like that. And we recognize her because we have these people who want us to see what she's doing, and they tell us, this is the Queen, this is what she's doing. And after a while, because of this information, we recognize who she is. Okay. We need information to recognize people, and we can get that from all sorts. We get it from magazines, and there are some magazines which seem to sort of specialize in giving you pictures and stories about the royal family. So we recognize the Queen, but we need to think now that Jesus wasn't recognized. Jesus, when he came into this world, he wasn't recognized. He should have been recognized because there was so much information about him before he was born. And that was given to God's people. We've already sung several times already this morning about prophets foretelling, prophets letting people know who was going to be born and the sort of person he was. And so we're going to think, for example, that there was lots of information given about the birth of Jesus, how he would be born of a virgin, which is remarkable, unique, and where he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, all this was foretold in the Old Testament, but not just about his birth, his life as well. What he did is foretold by the prophets, so that he would cure people who were sick, and he would cast out those who were possessed with demons. And the prophets foretold those things would happen. So it was no surprise when Jesus went around doing that. And so people should have been putting this picture together. They would know the Old Testament scriptures far better than we do. And they would have been able to recognize that this person who had come up to live with them was the person who had been promised for so long. But not just his birth, his life, and his death also is something which is foretold. that we would have some understanding of the death that this person would die. And there are some remarkable prophecies which were given 700 years before Jesus lived and died, which explain and describe in detail the things that Jesus would suffer and why he would die and how he died as well. But also, there's something else which is very important. The fact that Jesus, after he died, wouldn't remain in the grave, that he'll be raised from the dead. His resurrection is also foretold. So that every stage in his life, from his birth onwards, there should be those things which were coming up on people's screens, if you like, flashing lights saying, this is the Messiah. This is the one who has been promised for so long and for whom we've been waiting. And the Jewish people are those who were waiting for the Messiah. And sadly, except those who have come to faith in Jesus, are still waiting for the Messiah. And that is so sad. And all these prophecies were perfectly fulfilled. This is why we have two parts of the Bible. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now we're Christians. We don't want to get rid of the Old because the Old gives us so much helpful information. The two go together and we see the whole of God's wonderful plan from beginning to end. And we can't chop one bit out and forget about it. Okay. Now, Jesus wasn't recognized, but he should have been because there was so much information given. Now, why is it that people wouldn't recognize Jesus? Perhaps they didn't want to. Perhaps they had been blinded. Perhaps they couldn't see him as he truly was. Now, here's another person I want to ask, see if you recognize. Who's that? Oh, the little girl's gone. Who's that? Who's that? Do you know who that is? No? Yes? Yes. Who is it? Postman Pat. And who's he got with him? His black and white cat. That's right. Now, he drives a little van. In fact, in Oxford, have you seen the proper little vans that the postmen drive around, which just like Postman Pat vans? They're really amazing. Incredible. But you don't see Postman Pat in there looking like that, and he doesn't have a cat with him either. Now, what would he bring to your house? If Postman Pat were to come to your house, what would he bring to your house? Christmas cards. Okay, thank you. What else would he bring? What else would he bring? What else would he bring? Post? What sort of post? What sort of things would he bring to you? Well, we've had Christmas cards. What else might he bring? At this time of the year, what might he bring? Gifts. Presses. It might bring presses. Now, I want somebody to be a bit like Postman Pat and do a delivery here this morning. Would somebody like to be Postman Pat? Or two people, if you feel a bit shy. Somebody like to be Postman Pat? Well, I've got a present here, and the person's not going to get it unless somebody is a postman for me. It's going to be really serious. Here's the present. It's a genuine present, and it's got to get from here to somebody who is going to get this. Would you like to help me? If the person, you probably don't know. Oh, you're going to help, are you? Excellent. This is. Oh, here we go. Right. Now you do it together. Okay. Now it's got to go to Janet. Now, where's Janet? You wave a hand, Janet. Well, there she is. Can you give that to Janet? And you go as well. Joel, you go as well. That's it. Joint delivery. Okay. Now, we've given her a present. It's come from Postman... Not Pat, but Postman. Now, what are you going to do with that, Janet?
I'm going to open it.
You're going to open it? Yeah. Well, that's cool. Okay, will you open it? There you go. Well, I'm glad you like those. Chris has got hands on those already. So the half-life of those is probably very, very short indeed. Okay, now there was a gift that was delivered, it was received, it was opened, and actually Janet said thank you for it. I think we should actually say thank you to Janet, because when I was thinking who we could give a present to, she was, you know, somebody who has done a great deal here for the Children's Carol Service, and so it's appropriate. So you can tuck in and not sort of feel bad, you know, about sort of eating those chocolates. And, oh, she's passing them around. Oh, don't, that's not a good idea. Right. Okay. Now, that's what you do when you receive a gift. And yet I did say that Jesus was not received. The question is, what does it mean to receive Jesus? Because a postman won't bring him to our house, will he? But John helps us to understand exactly what it means to receive Jesus. And some people have some funny ideas about what it means to receive Jesus. John tells us that, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. So receiving Jesus is believing in his name. So what does it mean to believe in his name? Well, in our first reading, in our second reading, at Matthew, from Matthew's Gospel, there were two names given there. The first was Jesus and the second was Emmanuel. And so if we want to receive Jesus, then we believe in the person that he is as he has been made known to us. Okay? So let's see this. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. We're told there that the name of this baby who was going to be born, and they were told, Joseph was told ahead of time it would be a son. No amniocentesis, no smooth medical techniques, just told this would be a boy. And you would give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. So, we want to believe in his name, we can believe in him as Jesus, the Savior, who can save us from the consequences of all those things we know about ourselves that are bad and unpleasant and we can't change, and which make God sad and which make him angry. We can't do anything at all about that. But Jesus, when he came into this world, came to do for us what we just can't do for ourselves. Why would we not receive him? When we know that he will save us from punishment and even take that punishment upon himself. We don't deserve that, yet why would we not receive that? The second name that Matthew gives us is that of Emmanuel. Now, the names Jesus and Emmanuel, they sort of live on in the sort of names of colleges, Oxbridge Colleges, and a very well-known school here in Oxford. Emmanuel Christian School, which perhaps is the most well-known of all the things. But it actually has got a very important meaning, Emmanuel. It means God with us. Now, there's a lot that could be said about this, but just very, very briefly. Jesus is God with us when he died in our place on the cross. He took upon himself all those things that we do wrong, which make God sad and make him angry. And he went to the cross, even though he is totally innocent. Now, at this point, people perhaps think, well, you know, I think I've heard all this and I think I know about this. But perhaps we just don't fully appreciate how God regards sin. And that's probably because we don't fully understand what God is like. The Bible tells us that God is pure, he's holy, he's light, there is no darkness in him at all. He has created us, he's put us into this world, he's drawn lines over which if we step, then it'll hurt ourselves and it'll displease him. And yet we choose to do that. We step over these lines, we disobey him, we disregard him. And so for that reason, Christmas can be a really helpful time to us to think, well, okay, if this is because Jesus came, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, him coming into this world, then we need to understand why. And does it really matter? Does it really matter? Well, John tells us that it matters very much. He says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. To become a child of God. Now, some people think that everybody's a child of God. But John says that's not so at all. Only to those people who receive him, who believe in his name, then they are entitled to regard themselves as children of the living God and to know God as their heavenly Father. And that is a very, very wonderful thing, to have somebody who is so powerful yet so loving, who is continually caring for us and watching over us. But the other side of that is, those who don't believe, those who don't receive, those who reject and refuse the teaching that we have in the Bible about God and about Jesus, who ignore Jesus as God's free gift, who don't receive the gift, who don't open it, if I can put it like that, who don't say thank you for it, just turn their backs upon it. And that's why I said, does nobody ever open their gifts? Just leave them unopened? Of course we don't. Yet God has sent this most precious gift into the world, and what do we do with Jesus? What do we do with him? It's a matter of life or death. To spell it out a little bit more, it's a matter of eternal life or eternal separation. Or in the language that Jesus would use, it's a matter of heaven or hell. Jesus' own descriptions. And so Christmas tends to be a fun time, but it's a very important time because we remember something that really did happen. It's not a fairy tale. It really did happen. God penetrated our world, sending his Son in at just the right time as part of his great plan for this world. Part of that was that Jesus, this vulnerable baby, would not be killed. He would grow to be a man, and at just the right time, he would die upon the cross. That wouldn't be the end. He would come back to life again to show that everything that he did had been accepted by God. We ignore this gift at our peril. And if we think about it, why would we refuse to recognize and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me close by telling you a true story about two women who were having a very expensive lunch in a very expensive hotel. And somebody else came into the dining room and saw these two ladies there, and they came over and recognized these people, didn't do this every day, and so said, well, what are you celebrating here today? And so one lady, I don't know if she spoke like Penelope Keith, but she might have done, said, well, actually, I'm celebrating the birth of my new baby boy. And so the third person said, well, where is he? Oh, you didn't think I'd bring him with me, did you? They were having a celebration about the birth of a son, and the son wasn't even there. Isn't that Christmas for so many folk? We're having a celebration, but the Son of God is nowhere to be seen. Not recognized, not acknowledged, not given thanks for, not recognized. It doesn't have to be like that. Now, I know that when people are presented with information like this, it tends to throw up a whole bunch of questions. Well, we recognize that. I, of all people, before I became a Christian, spent 2 years getting answers to questions. So I know how important it is to have these questions answered. And if you have got such questions, then pick up one of our leaflets on the table there about our Christianity Explored course, and you have the opportunity to answer questions and understand what it means to recognize Jesus for who he is and how you can receive him as well. But don't let's have a Christmas in which the Son of God is absent. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and we are saddened to read what John had to say about the way in which the Lord Jesus was treated when he was born and grew up in this world, that the world that he had made did not recognize him, and yet, even to his own people, he lived unreceived. They did not take him to their hearts, they did not believe in his name, they did not recognize that he was the fulfillment of all those prophecies in the Old Testament, even though they knew those so well. We pray that you'd help us not to make the same mistake ourselves, because we know the moment we believe that we have this new life, this full life, this eternal life, which comes from yourself, it's not really got anything to do with religion, but a relationship with yourself through faith in Christ. Lord, help us to be utterly unsatisfied with anything less than that, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.